is an amazing privilege. And like Pastor Timmy's already prayed, we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering right now. Lord, it's an amazing privilege to be called your children and to live in a land that we basically are unscathed in professing our faith in you. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the freedom we have to be your children in such a wonderful place, but more importantly, we just thank you for the freedom to be called your children. God, nobody in this room, nobody at this church, nobody in this world is worthy of that. But God, we thank you for loving us anyway. Father, we're here today through the scripture that we read, through our prayers, that God, you would just, God, I ask that you would speak into the hearts and lives of the people who are in this room, to the people who are watching, to the people who may listen to this later on. God, I pray that you would work and move. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit. We need to be filled again and again and again. And God, I pray this morning that we would open ourselves up to be filled by you. God, help us not to forsake the free gift that you've given all of us. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for everything, and I ask that you would be with us and speak to us in this time. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to see everybody this morning. I just have a quick announcement for you. I know next week we had planned on doing a combined service with our first service crowd and then this crowd. Right now, with the way that the COVID numbers are and the hospital, we got some people in the church who are working in the hospital. And so basically, just to let you know if you're unaware, the hospital is completely full. They're putting beds in places of the hospital that aren't rooms in the hallways and stuff, and trying to just, they're doing away with all elective procedures and stuff like that to make room for COVID patients. And so due to the numbers, due to things like that, the LBA just believes right now it's not the best time to join us back together in one service. Last week we had over 130 people at church, and so to pack 130 people in our sanctuary in one room. And I know most of you guys in here, some of you have not opted to get vaccinated. You've not opted to wear a mask. And so just for the safety of some of our elderly, and then you know, even for us as individuals, we just feel like that would be unwise. So next week, instead of doing a combined service, we're going to be on our normal schedule of two different services, 9 a.m. in the sanctuary and 11 a.m. down here with Sunday school in between. So we just want to let you guys know that. I also was reading an article this past week about, you know, pastors are kind of being silent on the whole vaccination and all this stuff. They're not really saying anything. So I'm going to say this, all right? You need to be in prayer, all right? You need to be praying about this. Everyone has different feelings, opinions. Be very careful where you get your information from, but make sure that you're reading, that you're seeking out legitimate information from credible sources, and be praying and asking God what he would have you to do. I believe with all my heart that God can bring unity in all things, right? In church, it's one of the most difficult places to have unity. Got a couple pastors back here. We say amen to that. It's one of the most difficult places to have unity, even in God's house. It's no surprise that our country, with so many different people across such a vast amount of land, is in different opinions and feelings right now. But I believe that God can lead us in the way that we should go. So be in prayer for yourself personally, for your family, for your children, and what you feel like God would have you to do, and be obedient to that, all right? That's all I got to say about that. We get started? Free refills. This is what we've been talking about the past few weeks. And thank God for free refills, because we need it, right? How many of you have found yourself in a little more worn down, a little more nervous, a little more anxious as things have been progressing with COVID and everything else coming about? It's okay. You can raise your hand. Like, I'm raising my hand. I was sitting up. We've been talking this week as a staff. Should we do two services? Should we have one service? I was up thinking about it last night. It's just one of those things. It's on your heart and mind. I'm getting texts. I got some inside people at the hospital who's sending me information day to day, just kind of letting me know the numbers and stuff. And so every time I get those texts, I'm just like, life's heavy, right? For a lot of different reasons. And so you might be going through something today that's not COVID-related, job, family, personal, health, whatever. And thank God for free refills because, man, we need them. And we don't need them just because we're thirsty, and we don't need them just because we're clumsy and we spill our drink sometimes. We don't need them just because we're small cups. We need them because we're leaky vessels. I don't know if you guys realize that or not, but you and I, we're leaky cups, right? You remember last week we talked about being a small cup, but you're not just a small cup, you're a leaky cup. I had to be really careful about my analogies this morning during the early service because that age group of people, that I was like, oh, you're leaky people, and they kind of like snickered a little bit, and you know, they're going through some other stuff in life that many of you haven't reached yet. If you're laughing, you get it. If not, you're too young. You'll get there one day. But we're leaky people. Not physically, okay? Not physically, but spiritually, we are leaky people. Not only do we need to be filled constantly because we are small vessels, but we need to be filled constantly because we are leaky vessels. Any of you ever been to a restaurant and got a cup that leaked? How annoying is that? You get it, and you're sitting at the table, and at first, you just think, oh, this is condensation. You know, the glass is sweating. You wipe it off, and you're just like, oh, it'll be okay. And next thing you know, you're talking a little bit, and you look down, and then there's drink all over the table, and you're like, oh, my gosh. You're like, what? And then you wave the waitress over, and usually they bring you another cup, right? Problem solved. Free refills are great. The stinky part of that is when you're going through the drive-thru, and you get a cup that leaks, and you don't realize it until later. Anybody ever been there? That's the worst. Because that's the one that you get, you're in a hurry, you're trying to get out of the way, you're trying to get everything settled, you sit your drink in your cup holder, you're driving down the road, and you pick it up and it starts dripping all over you, and you look down, your cup holder's filled with drink, and then you have to make a decision. Because when you go through the drive-thru, you don't get free refills. You're just stuck with what you got. And so do I chunk this bad boy out the window to get rid of it, to minimize the mess, or do I drink it as fast as I can so that I don't waste it because I'm not getting any more drink? And usually I end up trying to drink it as fast as I can, and that, you know, gives me a headache, and I start getting sick and stuff because I'm drinking my drink so fast because I don't want to waste it because I don't have any more drink to get. And every once in a while, you have this cup. I don't know if any of you have ever done this or not. Do you know the paper cups that you get from fast food places? Like McDonald's has. I see one right there. I'm sitting on the table. You get these little paper cups, and has any of you ever left them in your car for like a week? With drinking them? Not so much now. Whenever I was younger and in my younger days, you know, you just kind of forget stuff. You let stuff go and you leave that drink in there and you're like, oh, I need to throw this thing away. And then you pick it up and the bottom falls out of it and drink goes everywhere because those cups are made to be degradable. They're made to deteriorate. Guys, let me tell you something. This is going to be the most difficult aspect of many of your lives because many of you are young. Many of you are very confident in yourselves, which is okay. Confidence is good. But we have to understand this morning that we're not only leaking vessels, but we're degrading vessels. We're deteriorating. We're on a limited time frame. You're sitting in here this morning. It's so important for you to understand and comprehend that we are small vessels, and because of that, we need to be refilled constantly. But we're also leaking vessels, and because of that, we need to be filled constantly. But another realization is understanding that we are deteriorating. We're on a limited time frame. You're not a Yeti, okay? You're not a Yeti. You're not this great $40 cup that everybody carries around with a straw in it. I got one. I love it. It was a gift. I would never pay that much money for a cup, but I use it every day. Thank you for whoever gave it to me. And it's great. I save. I don't waste. I don't like trash. I don't produce trash. I use that same cup every day. It's pretty gross. It probably needs to be washed. But we're not Yetis. We don't last. We are deteriorating. We have a limited amount of time that we are here, that we have access to God filling us, moving in us, and using us. And it's so important for you to understand today that we're deteriorating and we're leaking. And because of that, we need to be filled. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you in Jeremiah chapter 2. And Jeremiah was a priest that the Lord began to speak to, and he began to tell him, I want you to deliver this message to the people of Israel. And Israel had fallen away from the Lord. They had turned away from God. They had started worshiping other idols. And so as Jeremiah is delivering this message, especially in chapter 2, God is bringing his case against his people. He's saying, this is what you've done, and this is what I'm going to do as a result of it. But I want to read Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, and I feel like this passage of Scripture is just going to give us a very good insight into what we are tempted to do as people in our life and in our relationship with the Lord. All right? I'm going to ask you to stand with us. Let's read verses 10 through 13, and I'll let you have a seat again. But the message that God gives to Jeremiah to deliver says, go west and look in the land of Cyprus. Go east and search through the land of Kedar. Has anyone ever heard of anything as strange as this? Has any nation ever traded its gods for new ones, even though they are not gods at all? Yet my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. It says, the heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay, says the Lord. Now, let's pause right there, because this is super important. You know, as Christians, we absolutely love the passages of Scripture that talk about how there's this heavenly host that is watching us and observing us and cheering us on. And there's this great crowd of witnesses that's cheering you on. And whenever someone gets saved, there's a party in heaven. And we love stuff like that, right? Makes us feel good. Like, feels good. But then you read passages like this, and to understand that there is a crowd of witnesses in heaven who is watching us even when we screw up and fail. And you look at the people of Israel and what they've done, and they've traded their God for worthless idols, and it says that the heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay, says the Lord. And so I want you to understand this morning, as much as there are clouds of witnesses witnessing you and your spiritual successes, even in your failures, that witnessing is still there. It's accountability. It's God holding us accountable to everything that we do in our life, every decision we make, every word we say, every action we take. Look at verse 13, and this is important. It says, for my people have done two evil things. Two. The first is they have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. God is the God. He is the fountain. He is the one who gives us the refills that we need. He gives us the nourishment we need when we're thirsty. He gives us the refills we need when we screw up and we kick it over and spill it. He gives it to you when you're too small and you just keep needing the refill, and he keeps giving you the refill. They had abandoned their God, their fountain of living water. And number two, they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word, for your messages, for your prophecy. God, I pray today that you would speak into our lives, that you would reveal truth. Help us to be humble and transparent and obedient. And Lord, help us to allow you to fill us. We love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you're taking notes this morning, write this down, take a picture. Do whatever you need to do to keep it. Put it on your calendar. We leak. Spiritually, we leak. All right? God fills you, not only because you're a small vessel, but because you're a leaky vessel. And that's one of the hardest things that you're going to do, is to admit that you're broken, that we're undeserving. And it's really funny how, and I'm talking to Christians here, so if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, all right, there is going to have to come a time in your life where you realize how undeserving you are of the grace of God and His forgiveness, and you accept that free gift of mercy and grace and forgiveness. That's going to have to come into your life before you can have that relationship with the Lord. But what happens is, even as people, when we're saved for an amount of time, we get kind of confident in our own spiritual lives. And we lose the realization of the necessity that we have to keep praying, to keep reading, to keep going to church and having fellowship with other believers. And it goes beyond that, but those are three main things. We lose the realization of how much we need that in our lives. No matter how successful, no matter how talented, no matter how capable we are in this life, we all leak spiritually. No one in this room is a vessel that contains 100% of what God pours into us all the time. We can't do it. We're not made to do it. You and I are sitting here this morning, and we are coming back to church. We're coming back to read God's Word. We're coming back to pray because we need that. There's something inside of you that understands that there's a need in your life, because what person is going to wake up on Sunday morning when they could sleep in? What person's going to get up out of bed and put on halfway decent clothes and come to church and take this time out of their day when you could be accomplishing other tasks, because there's something in you that you realize, I need this. Even though I may not necessarily want to be here this morning, even though I may not necessarily this is not what was number one on my list, there's something that speaks to your soul to understand that you need this. We are leaky. We need to be filled by God constantly. And when you look at the people of Israel, they had leaked out. And before they knew it, they had leaked out so bad that they had absolutely turned away from the Lord, and they had dug for themselves cisterns that didn't hold anything at all. They had traded a leaky vessel for a vessel that held nothing at all. And I want to tell you this morning that in spite of our inferiorness, in spite of us not deserving it, in spite of us failing, in spite of us screwing up and spilling the drink, whatever it may be in your life, God loves you and God wants to give you refill after refill after refill. I don't know about you guys, that is extremely comforting to me. It's extremely comforting to know that we serve a God who wants to give us free refills, even when we don't realize necessarily how much we need them. Even when we don't come to Him to get them as often as we should have. And you look at the people of Israel, and God sends Jeremiah to speak to them in the Old Testament to say, hey, you abandoned me, you turned away from me, you dug these cisterns, come back to me, come back to the fountain of living water, because I want to fill you. I want to keep you happy. I want to give you purpose. I want to give you life. But I can't do that with you being separated from me. And despite the punishment, and despite the exile, and despite everything, God still loved His people. And God still sent His Son to save them and redeem them of their sins. God has constantly made a way, time and time again, despite the rebellion and the sin and the mistakes and everything that happened, so that He could continue to give His people free refills. So we leak. Point number two, leaking is doubly dangerous. There's two reasons why leaking is dangerous. All right? Now, most of the time when something leaks, we're always worried about what is leaking out. Right? Like we have this container, we have this vessel. When it begins to leak, it's super annoying. We're always worried about it escaping because we don't want to lose what's in it. Usually when we put something in a container, it's somewhat valuable. It's worth saving, right? It's worth keeping. So we want to hang on to it. But what we fail to realize is that whenever something begins to leak, it not only lets things flow out of it, but it opens up the opportunity for things to flow in it. And that's the really dangerous part. Now, I told you guys a few weeks ago I went on a kayaking trip. All right? Sabotage, assassination attempt. Get about a quarter of a mile down the river and I start sinking. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about boats or not. I don't really know a whole lot about boats. We just like learned some stuff in classes about buoyancy and stuff. But you have this vessel, all right, a boat, kayak, same concept, and you have this shell, right? And theoretically, it's supposed to be non-leaking. And if it doesn't leak like it's supposed to, then what it does is you set it down in the water and it pushes the water away. It displaces water. And you don't ever think about this because most of the time you're just like, oh, like there's nothing in the boat. But what's actually in the boat? Air. And you, when you get in there. Or stuff. And it's according to how it's designed as to how much it can actually hold. You know, if it's designed to hold cargo, like cargo ships, you can put an enormous amount of stuff on it, enormous amount of weight, and that joker will still float. That's one of the most amazing things to me, is looking at cargo ships and aircraft carriers and wondering how in the world did they not sink. buoyancy. Because inside that thing, inside that vessel, what's in there is air. You don't think about that. Cool, there's air everywhere. But I mean, think about this. For whatever reason, when you set that vessel in the water and it displaces the water, the air that's inside that vessel goes down to where the water is supposed to be. That's what keeps you afloat. And so when I'm going down the river a few weeks back, and we get a quarter of a mile down the trip, and the hole starts opening up, and water starts coming into the kayak, guess where all the air goes? Out. And as I start sinking, I'm like, man, I need to lose weight. All these other guys just zipping down the river, I'm like dragging on the rocks. I'm like, am I that fat? I mean, like, my kayak is like scrubbing the bottom. I'm on every rock that's over there, and these guys are just whistling down the river like nothing's going on. And then finally, I get to where I can't even hold it up because there's so much water in the hole of it that I just start flipping. Can't control it anymore. You leak. God wants to fill you. He wants to invest in you. He wants to give you free refills, but you leak. And this is the dangerous part. Not only do you leak out what God wants to give you, but when you leak out, there's a void that's there. And it is natural instinct, and some people do this by choice, but it is your natural instinct to allow that void to be filled with something. You are going to fill that void with something. You listening to me this morning? And this is especially for young people as much as it is old people. I used to say this to youth all the time. I've never met a person who said in elementary school, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a drunk. I want to be a drug addict. I want to be a murderer. I want to commit adultery one day. I want to ruin my marriage one day. Nobody says that. A sane adult doesn't wake up one morning and all of a sudden says, I want to do this. And they just go off the ledge. Like, what happens is that there's things in our life that we allow to come in. Generally, things happen over a long period of time. A little bit comes in, and a little bit comes in, and a little bit comes in. And I want to tell you this morning, you're a leaky vessel. And if there's a void in your life that's not being filled by God, it's going to be filled by something else. And some of us are sitting in here this morning, and we've allowed our vessel to be filled with things of the world, which at first doesn't seem very dangerous, because there's a lot of things in the world that aren't necessarily sinful, right? Right? I mean, there's a lot of TV shows that aren't necessarily sinful. There's a lot of music, not necessarily sinful. A lot of jobs, a lot of hobbies, a lot of activities that are not necessarily sinful. You are not going to feel guilty, not one bit, by doing them, like you're breaking God's law in that moment. But what happens is when we begin to allow things of the world to fill the voids, guess what comes in with it? Sin. And sin creeps in, and it leaks in. And it's not one of those things that one day, all of a sudden, sin is just going to, and it's going to flood you. It's going to creep in slowly, 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 until one day it takes over. I cannot tell you how many kids that are not kids anymore, that are adults, that I've had come through my youth group over the years, that have said time and time again, I need to get back in church. I need to get my life right. I was like, and they'll say time and time again, man, when I was in church, when I was reading my Bible, when I was praying, my life was so much better. And I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know how I got to where I am today, but I know I need to be back to where I was because my life was so much better back then. Not because they were a teenager, not because they were young, not because they were at home in mom and daddy's house, but because they had God in their life and that void was being filled by God. And what happens is when we just say, I'm not going to read today. I'm not going to pray today. I just don't feel like it. I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to go to church today. I don't want to talk to so-and-so because they're going to ask me, where have you been? You know, we've been missing you. And you avoid them like the plague. Those voids are going to be filled with something. And for us to understand that we leak, and it's not only dangerous to let God leak out of us without being refilled, but it's dangerous because of what may come in instead. And I want to say it again. you may start off allowing that void to be filled by unsinful things. But eventually, if it's not God, the sin will find its way in. And that's how people end up waking up one day and saying, how did I get here? What happened? I don't even realize like when my life got like this. Point number three, free refills are available. I know we keep saying it, but I feel like we need to say it again and again and again and again and again that God wants to give you free refills. You know, in verse 13, God compares himself to the fountain of living water, the fountain that never runs dry, the fountain that can quench the thirst of the thirsty. He can refill for those who are clumsy. He can refill for the small. And he can refill for the leaky, because we are all those things. Guys, there's never going to be a time in your life where you're not going to need to be filled again and again and again. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. And like I said, we got a couple of retired pastors in the room. I bet you, if you look around, if you know who they are and you find them, you can watch their head whenever I say this. There's never going to be a time in your life where you're not going to need to be refilled again and again and again. Even if you got paid to be at church every day, and you got paid to prepare a message, and you got paid to go visit people in the hospital, and paid to do everything that a pastor is supposed to do, you are going to need to be refilled even more than the other. Because I've worked in the world, and I've worked at the church, and I'm going to tell you, you need to be refilled constantly. And the more that you're involved in the spiritual, the more that you need to be refilled, but the more that you see the need to be refilled. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not going to read the whole passage to you. But he does this miraculous thing. He starts breaking apart the loaves. He breaks apart the fish. He starts passing it out. It multiplies. And he feeds 5,000 people. And the people who are present in this moment are so in awe of what Jesus has done that they are ready to crown him as their king. Right? How cool would that be? Anybody ever said, man, I wish we could just see a miracle? Anybody ever like that? Like you just want to see one miracle? Like you want to see God do something amazing or see it so that you know that like you would believe? All right? These people see it. They're ready to crown him as their king. And then Jesus gets on the boat. He slips away to rest. The people go to sleep. And around 12 hours later, this is what happens. Look at verses 26 through 35. The people come back. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. You see, as people, we're very much focused on the physical. We're focused on the worldly. That's why we have to be really careful not to allow the world to leak into us and not for just us to not allow God to leak out. But Jesus said, don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you, for God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. So Jesus is saying, look, we got to eat, right? You're going to go home. You're going to eat lunch, probably. I'm super excited to eat lunch. I don't eat on Sunday mornings. I'm super excited about lunch every Sunday. We need food. It's no surprise that these people want to be fed. And living in a day and time like this, in an area of the world like this, food is not as easily attainable as it is for us today. And these people are super excited to be fed. But Jesus tells them, he tells the people who don't have a lot of access to food, just like we do, he says, don't be so concerned about worldly things, perishable things. Look at verse 28. Look at how the people respond. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. There's a desire, especially in our culture, for people to feel like they are important, for people to feel like they have worth, for people to feel like they can do something so people can recognize them and give them approval. And these people, they wanted to perform God's works too. They wanted to be able to perform the miracle. And you look at what Jesus replied to them, and in all honesty, this is super amazing that he's not looking at us this morning and saying, well, if you want to serve me, you need to be able to heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, make the lame people walk, speak in tongues, do all this stuff. You know, we don't have to worry about displaying a spiritual gift in order to prove that we are saved. Jesus looks at these people and says, God doesn't want you to do miracles. God simply wants you to believe in the one that he has sent. How amazingly freeing is that? That all you have to do is believe. All Jesus wants from you is to simply believe in him. That's the only work you got to do. That's awesome. And in verse 30, they answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? 12 hours later, somewhere around that, maybe a little more, they were so impressed and they were ready to crown him as king. And now when he simply says, believe in me, they're saying, give us a miraculous sign. What can you do? As if what he had already done was not good enough. Guys, can I remind you this morning? Most of you in here are believers in Christ. Most of you in here have been saved. You remember what it was like whenever you gave your heart and your life to Christ. There's probably been times since then that God has spoken to you and you feel God move and work in your life and do an amazing thing in your life and you feel incredibly close to him. But I want you to think about this. How often does those feelings fade away? Given enough time and given enough circumstances, we don't always feel like we're that close to God. And every one of us desires to be this close to God, like you couldn't slide a sheet of paper in between you and him. Like we want that so much, but a lot of times, like, we don't always feel like that. And what happens is we lose sensitivity over time because we're leaking vessels. Like, you look at these people right here, they had just saw the miraculous sign, but guess what? They wanted another one. Because as people, we're greedy. We want another one. We want another one. We want to be filled with something. And we have to be super careful about what we are asking for and what we're allowing ourselves to be filled with. Verse 31 says, after all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And how he offers you the bread from heaven, the true bread from heaven, of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Guys, we need Jesus every day. We need to be filled every day. And you're sitting here this morning, it's such a humbling thing to realize, like, dude, do I really have to pray every day? Do I really have to read my Bible every day? Should I really be hanging out with Christian people every day? Because, you know, like, I got some good friends, and we have a great time, and sometimes hanging around people at church isn't all that fun, and they're just a little dorky, and trust me, I've been there. I've been through that whole scenario of having to make the decision to give up friends that I grew up with my entire life and played ball with and did all kinds of stuff with, and then, like, going to the realization of, I got to leave those people behind. I got to follow God. The realization of needing Jesus Christ every day is so important in maintaining our relationship with him for the long haul. How many of you want to live to be old? Nobody? Y'all ready to go now? How many of you want to live to be old? What you're asking for is a lifetime of constantly needing to be filled. You know, it would be so much easier if we could just go now and be with the Lord. It would be so much easier. But if we want to live to be old, then we have to understand what we're asking for and the realization of how much we need to be filled by Jesus every single day. so many kids, man, so many people that I've talked to. My life was so much better. My life was so much better when I was in church. My life was so much better when I was reading my Bible and praying. What are you filled with today? Are you thirsty? Disappointed? Frustrated? Anxious? Scared? Stuck? Just ready for something to change? You got to let Him fill you. You got to let Him give you the refills that you need, not just once, not just on a Sunday morning, not just a little prayer that feels good, and then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, maybe you come back and you get another one. You got to let Him fill you every day. There's a reason why we need constant refills. There's a reason why God designed you to be leaky. There's a reason why God designed you to be small. He wants to fill you. He wants to have that relationship with you every single day. But the choice is yours. You with me this morning? Like, it's a choice that you have to make. God is not going to invade your life. God loves you so much. He will allow you to have what you really want for a little while. That's how much He loves you. He's not going to invade in your life. He will speak to you. He will send messengers. He will do things to talk to you. He sent Jeremiah to the people of Israel. He spoke to them. He said, look, I want to fill you. I am the fountain of living water that you need. And they refused it. And God never did force them to follow Him. God's not going to force you this morning. He's not going to try to come in and make you follow Him. But He will speak tenderly to you. He will speak to you. He will call you. He will send messages to you to try to convince you to return to Him. But the choice is inevitably yours that you have to make. So what are you filled with today? Let's pray. Father, we are incredibly needy. And Lord, we need You. I pray that we would be humble enough to call on the name of Jesus and ask You to fill us, not just now, but Lord, to do it all over again tomorrow and all over again Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And God, that we would just seek Your face and allow You to fill us daily. Because if we want to continue to live, and if we want to continue to journey through this world, God, we need You. I pray that we would let You fill us, God, that we would not be tempted to fill those voids with things of the world or any type of sin. But God, we would turn our lives over to You and allow You to fill us, to make us healthy, to make us whole, Lord, to keep us afloat the way that You want to. We love You today. And I pray that You would speak and work and move in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed today.